This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great review for you. If you're taking pharmacology classes, looking to take a board exam soon, or just want a little refresher if you're out in clinical practice. So again, absolutely get that for free. Simply an email is all it's going to cost you. So with that, let's get into the drug of the day today, and that is Remeltion. Brand name of this medication is Rozarum, and this medication is primarily used for sleep. It's classified as a hypnotic, and it works as a melatonin receptor agonist. Okay, and so there are some differences with melatonin receptors. This drug primarily works on melatonin 1 and melatonin 2 receptors. Melatonin 1 is believed to be most responsible for inducing sleepiness and having that sedative-type feeling. Melatonin 2 is thought to be more responsible for circadian rhythms involving and in relation to sleep. With that said, Remeltion primarily works on the melatonin 1 receptor. So it, I believe it's like 6 to 8 times more potent at the melatonin 1 receptor. So that explains the effects that you're likely to get. Melatonin 1, as I mentioned, we get that induction of sleepiness, the sedative type feeling. And as you can imagine, because it does that action, it's going to be used primarily for sleep onset versus sleep maintenance. So, Remeltion, primarily for sleep onset. I do have an interesting table, or a good table, on the Z drugs. So, that's like Zolpidem. So, if you Google search Z drug comparison chart at meded101.com, I go through all the different Z drugs there. Like Zolpidem, and obviously designate which ones are sleep onset versus sleep maintenance or both and that type of thing. So good little chart there, extra added bonus if you want to go Google search that and check that out. All right, getting back to kind of Remeltion here. Again, primarily useful for sleep onset, not going to be used for maintenance. Dosing of this medication, pretty straightforward, pretty easy. 8 milligrams once daily. As far as cost, historically, this has been an issue with this medication, and in my opinion, probably is one of the big things that limit its use compared to, let's say, trazodone, which is very, very dirt cheap, at least at this time. Another thing to think about, it's like, you know, are patients going to take over-the-counter melatonin instead, which I've done a podcast on melatonin previously as well. So cost definitely can be significant higher than some of those other agents in most situations. Adverse effect profile, any med we're using for sleep, pay attention to the sedation. Particularly in geriatric patients, we may see that sedation linger a little bit, or maybe that half-life gets extended a little bit more so than in a younger patient. So keep an eye out for that morning sedation, particularly if you've got a patient that's going to get up and go driving somewhere or do something where they certainly shouldn't be sedated or lethargic. Other adverse effects, probably not incredibly common, GI upset, maybe worsening insomnia in rare cases has been reported, dizziness. One thing I know I hit on fairly hard in the melatonin podcast was the rare potential for elevations in prolactin. So, again, probably not going to be real common at usual standard doses that we use of Rosarum or melatonin, but as we potentially escalate and maybe use excessive doses that are inappropriate, this may be more of an issue there. Has been reports of reduced testosterone as well. The rare reports that are associated with Z drugs like Zolpidem, so behavioral changes, aggression, hallucination, also unusual sleep behaviors have been reported with Rosarum. Again, probably don't maybe see these as much, simply due to the fact that Remeltion is used much, much less frequently than a drug like Ambien, for example. But there have been reports associated with that. Some of the pharmacokinetics, important things to note here. Again, Remeltion is going to be used for sleep onset. Primary reason being it's going to work quickly. This is also important because Rosarum can be used as needed as well. So 30-minute onset of action, obviously we're going to take that medication and hopefully start feeling its effects fairly quickly. Dosed right at bedtime, we don't want to dose it at like 6 p.m. and then try to fall asleep at 8 or 9 o'clock. Patients are probably going to be pretty sleepy sooner than that because, again, it's beneficial for that sleep onset. A little clinical quirk with administration. So Remeltion, if it's given with a meal with food that's high in fat, this could delay the absorption of the drug. So obviously that could lead to kind of a prolonged peak where that peak is a little bit delayed and then potentially could lead to kind of a greater area under the curve, basically more exposure to the drug over time as well. And in theory, for instance, in my geriatric patients that I routinely see, that could linger a little bit longer if you give it with a high-fat meal into the late morning there potentially. One last thing that really differentiates it from drugs like Zolpidem and the other Z drugs, Remeltion is not a controlled substance. So this could be certainly a potential advantage in that situation, comparing it to a drug with abuse potential or with more abuse potential like Zolpidem. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification study material like ambulatory care, geriatrics, pharmacotherapy, or the NAPLEX exam, go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. In addition, if you're a nurse, we've got the MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology. We've got books on drug-food interactions, drug-drug interactions in primary care, and many, many other resources. So go support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. Your purchases there go directly to help support this podcast. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. There is some significant things to pay attention to with Remeltion. So first and foremost, multiple enzymes break this drug down. So generally, the way I think of that is you're probably not going to have a drug interaction that's crazy significant. We may have an exception or two here as far as the CYP enzyme goes, if it's broken down by multiple different CYP enzymes. However, you may have multiple drugs that could impact it slightly and raise concentrations. So first and foremost, primary enzyme to pay attention to with Remeltion is CYP1A2. And we don't really have a lot of strong CYP1A2 inhibitors. Probably the biggest exception to that is fluvoxamine, which is Luvox. So that's the SSRI with a ton of drug interactions that you really don't see used very often. I've covered that one in the podcast previously. But fluvoxamine has a ton of drug interactions, and Remeltion is certainly one of those here. So Fluvoxamine, being a CYP1A2 inhibitor, a strong one particularly, could raise concentrations significantly of remeltion. And it's probably the most significant CYP interaction that we're going to encounter here. One other drug I wanted to mention that is a CYP1A2 inhibitor is ciprofloxacin. Definitely a common agent used to manage infections like urinary tract infections. It's more of a probably mild to moderate type of CYP1A2 inhibitor. So how much those concentrations of remeltion go up may or may not be significant, kind of depending upon how much drug we're using, and then obviously patient characteristics there as well. But there definitely is potential that remeltion concentrations and obviously the actions of the drug could increase. Other drug interactions to pay attention to, additive, sedative properties. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I've covered it numerous times. Opioids, benzodiazepines, alcohol, older anticholinergics, any drug that's going to be sedating could obviously potentially add to the effects of remeltion. And then other probably less significant CYP interactions than CYP1A2, CYP3A4 and CYP2C9 also play a role in breaking down remeltion. Again, when you distribute kind of the breaking down of the drug between multiple enzymes, the likelihood that, you know, CYP3A4 inhibitor used by itself without any other inhibitors on board, is it going to play that significant of a role clinically? Probably not. But I think it does bear mentioning. And particularly in patients where we're dealing with polypharmacy situations, if you've got somebody that's on, let's say, ciprofloxacin, you know, kind of a moderate CYP1A2 inhibitor, and then they're also on a CYP3A4 inhibitor and a CYP2C9 inhibitor, well, that's certainly a situation where concentrations could go up significantly, where we're essentially blocking, at least partially, all those pathways from breaking down this drug. So certainly you want to take the patient's totality of medications into account when you're looking at this, but in an isolated box, a CYP3A4 inhibitor, at least a mild to moderate one, is it going to have that much effect clinically? Probably not. But with that said, classic CYP3A4 inhibitors, some of the azole antifungals like ketoconazole, lopinavir, ritonavir, nifazidone, drugs not used terribly often, but something to pay attention to anyway. And then clarithromycin is kind of another example, too, that I do see periodically. And then finishing this up, obviously, if you've got inducers as well, that's got the potential to lower remeltion concentrations. Again, probably not going to worry about it too much in clinical practice. And then those CYP2C9 inhibitors, the main one that I pay attention to or remember typically is fluconazole. And one other one is Bactrim, potentially, trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole. That can have some CYP2C9 inhibitory type activity as well. So again, with that inhibitory activity, you could, in theory, slightly increase the remeltion concentrations. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, found it helpful, please leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Also, support the sponsor, MedEd101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. All purchases there go directly to support this podcast. If you want that free PDF, it's kind of a no-brainer. Simply an email will get you access to that. Go do that at reallifepharmacology.com. Also, I'm releasing soon some nursing pharmacology questions on reallifepharmacology.com. They're going to be absolutely free for anyone to take advantage of, so pay attention to the blog, and obviously if you're on the email list, I'm going to let you know when those are wrapped up and ready to go. Any comments, suggestions, you can reach out to me, mededucation101@gmail.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.